the kids.
Broadcasting on JerusalemCats.com. Meow. Yud Chet Amud Bet 18b1 Masechet Sanhedrin. Meidu Meidin Oto. We can testify and testify against him. Right. This is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is on the previous staff. We said about the Kohen Gadol, beginning of the Mishnah, second line of the Mishnah, or first line of the Mishnah, Meid Meidin Oto. He can testify, and he can be testified against. Right, the Kohen Gadol can go to court. There's nothing wrong with the Kohen Gadol being in court, either as a witness or as a defendant. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to question. Meid, question mark. He can testify. Bahatanya, wait a minute, we learned in a brighter. V'italamta, and you shall hide. Right, this is what we looked at the end of the last lesson. And you shall hide. Right, that's from the verse talking about Shavas Aveda. And it says over there, Lo tirei shua chicha, you should not see the ox of your brother, or etzeor, or his sheep, nidachin, wandering. V'italamta, and you shall hide mehem from him. V'heshev et tishivam l'achicha. And you should return them to your brother. Right, so it says in the middle of that, and you shall hide. So the pshat is, and you should not hide. Right, don't see it, and you shall hide. Meaning, don't hide. But the Gemara says, and you shall hide. The pshat is, and you shall hide. Right, it doesn't say don't hide, it says, and you shall hide. So how do I understand that? So the Torah is telling me, a remez, telling me something that's not in the pshat. Pshat is, don't hide. The remez is, do hide. Pa'amim she'ata mitalem, sometimes you should hide. Pa'amim she'ata mitalem, and sometimes you should not hide. Ha'ketzad, what's the situation? So we have now three situations where you should hide. What are they? So the first one is Cohen. Rabbi Abraham is walking down the road past the cemetery, and he notices that someone's dropped his iPhone. Should he run in to pick it up? Many accounts know, but we've got a new reason not to pick it up. Right? We haven't got, like, should you? It's a good question, right? If somebody loses like a pack of cigarettes, someone leaves a pack of cigarettes on the seat and they get up to leave the train, should you go, wait a minute, you forgot your cigarettes? Maybe not.
No?
I don't know, I'm just questioning. I don't know Zach, but I'm just throwing that out there. It might well be that that's not. Right, we're meant to help people, we're not meant to
someone
be...
Someone else never spoken, at least with this guy.
What, Peter?
There could be some other kid will find it to care about.
No, to maybe put in the bin, I don't know what, but not to do Shabbos Aveda.
Oh, right? In frozen smoke, can you give yourself it?
No, but if...
You're still buying another bag of cigarettes.
I don't know, these are all questions, I don't know, I'm not stacking. Personally, right, when people stop you in the airport on the way back and say, can you help me carry these, because I've got too many already in my bag, and it's 400 boxes of Marlboro or whatever. Personally, I say no, sorry, right? It's a big chesed to help you, and if it was boxes
more.
Of, I don't know, candies for his kids, so maybe, but I don't carry boxes of cigarettes for anyone. Everyone should I'm just giving my own view. I haven't got a sack, I have no idea what the right thing
last
to do
time,
is. I just.
You gave me cigarettes?
Last time I found the pack, I gave it to an Arab.
You gave it to an Arab?
But that brings up an important issue. When you're at the airport, don't accept anything from anyone, because remember the three books that were caught in Japan with drugs?
Yeah, also, you don't know what it is. But if it's an Avrei that you know in the yeshiva, it may be. You can hope that trust that he's not drugs. But you're right. You never know. Best not to carry whatever it is.
And also, if Sonny leaves a package on a train or bus, tell people, because it could be a bomb. There have been increased number of terrorist attacks.
Right. Tough. Okay. So what are we saying? So when should you not do Shabbos Aveda?
Question about smoking.
Smoking.
The person who smokes, is it
Daka? Don't know. Ask Rabbi Oka.
Same person, tzedakah, when you want tzedakah?
It's an issur to put a stumbling block. If you've got a good reason, right? If one of those guys stops you on Kikar Tzion, clearly drunk, clearly looking for beer money, and says, "Can I have tzedakah?" Then potentially it's an issur to put a stumbling block. Issur. No, you're not doing a chesed, you're doing issur. Anyway, each person should find a good rabbi that they can trust and ask those sorts of questions. But they're things to think about. Anyway, so here we have three occasions when a person should not do Shabbat Aveda. What are they? The first one is a Kohen, the Huba Beit HaKvarot, and it is in it's in the cemetery, right? The lost object is in the cemetery, so the Kohen should hide himself, not do it. Next one, Zaken Beino Lefik Bodo, an old man and it's not befitting his honor. Old man and somebody's left, I don't know, whatever, it's not befitting his honor to go around looking. Zaken could also mean a Tamid Chacham, maybe, also is used in the word Zaken. But it's not fitting his honor to go around trying to find the lost owner. Next one, or Sheita Malacha Shalom Uba Mishel Chaviro, or if his malacha is greater than that of his friend. Right? If there's the friend here could either be the person who's lost it or someone else. What does that mean? If it's someone else, that's easy to understand. If there's two people there, right? If you're in the mikvah and there's you and the Rav, and you both walk in the mikvah at the same time and someone's left to watch. Now, the Rav's busy. His malacha is worth more, so to speak, than yours. You should do the Shabbos Aveda, not him. He's got stuff to do. Right? If your work involved in doing it is greater than your friend's, you should leave it like so the Rav can ignore it and leave it for someone else. Or you can say, then the person who's lost it, that's the friend we're talking about. And what does it mean? It means that the work I will have to do to return it is greater than the loss to him, maybe. So what does it mean? It means that if it's something of a low value, then, yeah. If it's something of a low value, and I spend a lot of time trying to find the owner, then it's not worth it, right? If it's like a child's pacifier, they probably cost, I don't know, 5 shekels these days. They're very, very cheap. Right? If I spend 3 hours trying to find the owner of a 5 shekel object, it's not worth it. So I don't have to worry about that. Amar Rav Yosef. Okay, so that's what we got to. So why did we bring this? So this brighter was brought, remember, let's go back to the beginning. We have to remember, always try and remember in the Gemara where we're holding. Whenever I get to a point I'm confused, I have to remind myself where I actually am. The Gemara brought this brighter as a challenge to the opening statement. The opening statement was, the Kohen Gadol testifies in court. And the Gemara said, he can testify, but wait a minute, I've got a brighter. So now let's link the two. What is this brighter got to do with that statement? Why is this a challenge to the Mishnah? The Mishnah said the Kohen Gadol testifies. And here we have a brighter about returning lost objects. What's the connection? So here we're going on from the kavod. We see that a zaken, for his kavod, he doesn't need to trouble himself. So here we're saying the Kohen Gadol too. We're going to trouble the Kohen Gadol to bring him in the court to witness and testify. He's got a job to do. He's busy. Right? You can learn from here. A learning across. It's the same. It's not the same exact situation, but it's close enough that the Gemara is saying, I've got a brighter that shows you that if you're a chashuva person, you don't have positive obligations, like positive obligation to testify and be called for whatever. You don't have to. So maybe that's a challenge to the Mishnah. So the Gemara answers. Amar Rav Yosef answers. Me'id lamelech. No, we're talking about where he's testifying for the king. So there, it's not beneath his honor to testify on behalf of the king. Though there are situations where the Kohen Gadol will testify, you're right. Generally speaking, the Kohen Gadol wouldn't bother himself to go to court to testify about a parking ticket that he saw somebody get or whatever it is. But for the king, yeah, okay, so he would go to the court. Okay, so that's the answer of Rav Yosef. But then we're going to, well, that's not good enough. Bahatanan, but we learned in the Mishnah, lo dan, v'lo danin oto. Lo me'id, v'lo me'idin oto. We learned about the king, that we don't judge him, and he doesn't judge others, and we don't testify against him, and we don't testify, he may not testify, and we don't testify against him. So clearly we see that the Kohen Gadol can't be testifying for the king, because the king's not in the court. The king doesn't go to court. So Rav Yosef, the question on Rav Yosef, why he thought to say that answer, because for sure he knew the Mishnah. But let's take it on face value, and the Rav Yosef can't be correct. Can't be that answer. So we need a different answer. Ella, Amar Rav Yizera. Rav Yizera has a different answer. Me'id leben melech. Let's say you're right. The king himself can't go to court, but maybe he's going to testify for the king's son, and that would be, there would be enough kavod to, if the king's son is needs a witness, then I'm sure I'm going to go for him. So maybe you can say he's in court to testify for the king's son. Gemara is still not happy. Ben Melech, Hedyotu. The king's son is just a normal person. There's nothing special. There's no status to the king's son. So there's no reason why the Kohen Gadol would trouble himself for the sake of the king's son to go and testify for the king's son. He's just an ordinary person. Ella, rather, Me'id Bifnei HaMelech. Let's say he's testifying before the king. What does it mean? It means that the king is one of the judges. He's one of the judges in the court. And that's why the Kohen Gadol is going to testify. Right? The king is one of the Sanhedrin, let's say. And that's why he's going to testify. But wait a minute, you should be scratching your head and say, wait a minute, didn't we just learn he doesn't judge? So the perush is, you might have thought that when it says he doesn't judge, it means he doesn't stand by himself to be a singular judge, but he could be one of a number of judges. You may have thought that. The Gemara is going to reject it anyway, but you could have said that's what the Mishnah meant, and therefore you could have had a situation where he's on the Sanhedrin. So we need the Gemara to reject it. So the Gemara is going to explicitly reject it now and say no. Maha ein moshivin melech the Sanhedrin. No, but we've been taught in a brighter, right, that we don't put a king on the Sanhedrin. Right? And we learn from here, the commentary says that you learn from here the fact that you need a brighter to tell you that you don't put the king on the Sanhedrin means that you could have learned out from the Mishnah. The Mishnah meant that he only doesn't serve by himself. And you do need another brighter to come and tell you he doesn't serve the Sanhedrin either. So what's the answer? So the Gemara gives an answer to how come the Kohen Gadol can testify. Mishum yikara de Kohen Gadol. Because of the honor of the Kohen Gadol, Atai v'yativ, he comes and sits. Meaning the king will come and sit because of the fact that the Kohen Gadol is coming to court. The king would come and honor the Kohen Gadol by coming in to watch him give his testimony. Mekable nihale l'sahadute. After the testimony is received, kai hu v'azil, he gets up and leaves. The king gets up and leaves. Right, he's not sitting there on the panel, he's not judging, but he's there listening. That's what it means when it says, when Rav Zera says, when Rav Yosef said, if you like, what Rav Yosef said originally, that he testifies before the king. It means he does testify before the king. The king's not actually on the judging panel. He happens to be in court, but he's there only for their testimony, and then he gets up and leaves afterwards. And we examine the case, meaning the other judges. Meaning he himself, the king, does not examine the case. It means that the judges do.
Seems like maybe it's the king's son is a defendant.
So it could be that the king's son is a defendant, and that's why the king is in the courtroom. And if the king's in the courtroom, then it's fitting for the Kohen Gadol to come and testify, which then brings together also Rav Zeira, who says we're talking about the king's son. So then that will match all of them together. What we find is there is a scenario where the Kohen Gadol could be testifying. So we come down to certainly one pshat of the Mishnah is, you're right, the Kohen Gadol can testify. That's what it means when it says Me'idin, Me'idoto, he does testify. It means that he can. But he's not really going to testify, generally speaking, except for one situation. One situation, for sure, we can put the pieces together that he would testify. Case of the king's son, and the king will appear and be in the courtroom for that testimony, and then it's worthy of his honor that he comes in and testifies, and then shows him afterwards.
What about the other option where they're determining about an optional war?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't the king want to give his information?
Okay, and so what would you say then regarding Osuja?
Then he'd have...
That would be a case when the king would come to the Sanhedrin to discuss it with them. Right, but you're right, 100%. But here we're talking about the case of the Kohen Gadol. When would the Kohen Gadol testify?
But since the king can't testify to the Sanhedrin, wouldn't he use the Kohen Gadol?
So I would say, I don't know if it's true, but I would say in the situation of the war, the king's not testifying. King's coming to speak to the Sanhedrin. It's not testimony. He's not a witness on the stand being cross-examined and questioned by the Dayanim. It's not a court case. So it's not testimony per se. He's coming to discuss, and he needs the permission of the Kohen Gadol, of the Sanhedrin, in order to go to war. But he's not there as a witness.
Then how do they ask him questions if it's not...
Not as a witness.
Not as a witness.
Because to be a witness is a derogatory position. We're questioning you, we're making sure you're not lying, we're testing you to see that you're not, right? So that sort of stuff you don't do to the king. But to sit in the king and discuss, well, that's all right.
I call you.